Amen. Listen, back in Nehemiah chapter 1, here's Nehemiah to God. I mean, it's not a message tonight about prayer, but you cannot talk about Nehemiah without talking about prayer. He says to God, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." Can anybody say that tonight? "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest my servant thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer." He's saying, let the king have mercy on this man. I'm going to go in and I'm going to ask something that no one would ever ask. And that's to be relieved of my cup-bearing responsibilities. Look in Nehemiah 4:4. Nehemiah 4:4. Just a quick thing on prayer here is all. We're not going to go too long in that. We're going to have choir practice and fair practice. And Nehemiah 4:4. Here's a prayer. Hear, O our God. For we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for prey in the land of captivity. How's that for a prayer? In Nehemiah's prayer later on in Nehemiah, he prays by name. Take care of this Sanballat. Take care of this Tobiah. Take care of this wicked prophetess, Lord. Look in 5:19. 5:19, a man of prayer. He said, hear me, Lord. In 19, think upon me, my God. Will you think upon me for good, according to all that I have done for this people? Hear me, Lord. Think about me, Lord. Look in chapter 6 and verse 9. 6 and 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, he's praying, O God, strengthen my hands. Hear me, O Lord. See me, O Lord. Think of me, O Lord. Strengthen my hands, Lord. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. 13:14, last verse on prayer. You can't launch into a sermon on Nehemiah without it. Remember me. Think about me. Don't forget me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. And then in 13:14, remember me, oh my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices. So, if you're ever going to be something for God, you've got to be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. I don't think being in the orchestra, I don't think being in the choir, I don't think soul winning or standing on the street hold a candle to being a man or a woman of prayer. Now, a few weeks back, we preached a sermon, a short 10-minute introduction to this story of Nehemiah. I'm going to start tonight by telling you there's two meetings taking place in this book. Now, it doesn't say that, oh, they went to this meeting, but we can see very clearly they had to have a meeting. So the first meeting, and I'll tell you the story once we get into it a little bit. The first meeting, Artaxerxes, king of Persia, palace of Shushan, he calls a meeting of his captains and his guards and his servants and some slaves. And he says, listen, I'm going to send Nehemiah to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which are all tore up. And they say, well, yeah, he's all tore up about it. His countenance is changed, and I trust him. He'll come back. I want you to go with him. He's telling the soldiers. He's telling the workers. He's telling the slaves, I want you to leave this place and go 900 miles to Jerusalem.
They say, people who measure these things, say it took probably 3 months. So you're telling all these guards and all these servants, many of them in chariots and wagons that carry lumber on a real entourage, you're going to leave here and go 900 miles there, then 900 miles back. You're going to be gone for a half a year from your job, from your family. Whip-dee-doo. I don't think they're very happy about it, but they didn't say it to the king. So when the king of Xerxes left, they said, can you believe this? Listen, they didn't like Nehemiah. He's a Jew. They didn't like Nehemiah because Artaxerxes, the king, liked him and lifted him up above his own servants, above his own captains. Nehemiah had the gravy job. Unless someone tried to poison the cup, then it's not that great. He'd pour some of that wine in his hand, slurp the wine, wait a couple minutes, and say, pretty good. I say it's a Sauvignon. You're going to like this, king. Or, if it was poison, well, you got a long list of people that want to be the cupbearer. It's a cush job. You live in a palace. You live like you're living just below the king. Anything you want, you can have. Well, the captains and the guard and all them, they weren't crazy about that. So you know what they did? They sent one of the boys and said, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tell Sanballat what's about to happen. Behind the king's back. So one of the guys takes off, and he gets about 899 miles away. Well, there's another meeting going on. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem are having a meeting, a town meeting, a town hall meeting, trying to decide, what are we going to do with Jerusalem? It's a certain fact that they had a plan to prosper from Jerusalem, from the broken down city. They were going to take it and make something out of it. So someone said, well, what can we do with Jerusalem? Walls are broken down. It's like the mall in Arendequite. All tore up. No one wants it. Birds are in there pooping all over everything. Rain's running down the thing. People breaking in. No one wants it. Well, they thought, well, we can do something with this. Maybe we can make some money. And Geshem says, well, let's open up the GISAG, which is a Get in Shape Sports Complex. Geshem's Get in Shape Sports Complex. Let's open up a sports complex. We can have games there and sporting events. You rent it out. We can have the Lions tear people up in there, and people come from jousting, and this would be great. Get in shape at Geshem the Sports Park. That'd be awesome. Well, Tobiah says, it's a good idea, but I'm thinking about a TAT. TAT? Yeah, tripping at Tobiah's amusement park. Why don't we make it an amusement park? Get all these rides, and we'll have food, and people come in, we'll have shows, we'll have acts, maybe some gambling in there. TAT, tripping at Tobiah's amusement park. Why not? Can I tell you something? Honestly, seriously. They're thinking, what are they going to do with this place? Well, Sanballat's sitting there, and his wife's sitting next to him. And she says, tell him what I told you. No. He says, dear, I don't... Tell him what I told you. Okay, how about a shopping mall? How about a shopping mall? I mean, who would want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond five times in a week, right? We'll call it SAS, Shopping at Sanballat's. And she gives them the elbow, I don't think so. We're going to name it Sally Sanballat's Mall. Yes, dear. Maybe a casino. I don't know. Maybe we have a fruit stand, vegetable market there. Listen, Ezra and Nehemiah, it's all about rebuilding Jerusalem. So the cupbearer goes before the king. He's all bummed out. That means he's sad. He's down in the mouth, you might say. And the king said, the king really liked him. Really liked him. Hey, man, what's up? What's the matter with you? You're not sick, right? No, I'm not sick. I got a report, Jerusalem's all tore up, walls are burned, gates are burned down, and my people are suffering. The remnant that had escaped a bondage, they're just in a big mess. Bumming me out. King says, well, what can I do to help you out? Well, He was afraid to ask him. So before he asked him, he sends up this prayer to the Lord to help him because he was afraid. I mean, no one's going to ask to be removed from that position. Now, the king might flip out and say, what? Maybe throw him in jail. Maybe beat him. Maybe fire him and left on his own. But he liked him. And so Nehemiah told him a story. We'll read it. We'll read it in just a bit. Nehemiah told him a story. And he prayed to the Lord again in verse 4, which we'll see. Nehemiah, a man of a great prayer for sure. He says in verse 5, if it pleased the king. I like to think sometimes that this king pictures our king, our Lord. You know what happened? The king gave him everything he needed to do the job that he wanted to do. And I'm telling you tonight, God will give you exactly what you need to do that thing you believe God's called you to do. God's not going to call you to a work and not equip you for the work. And the picture here is the guards and the soldiers and lumber and all these things. He wrote him a letter. Letters to give the governors 900-mile trip, and he'd walk into town, and people would say, "What? What are you doing?" What? I got a letter from the king. I got a letter from king telling me I have every right to be here. When they got to the forest of Asaph, who's governor of this forest, he had a letter from the king saying, "I want you to give Nehemiah all the wood, all the lumber that he needs." Pretty good. Pretty good. Sent letters. Without the letters, you're not going to make it. And I'll tell you tonight, without the letters, you know what these letters did? The letters conveyed him on his life route. The letters, they furnished him with everything he needed to get by safely. And some of you in this house, you have a letter from the king and you keep it in your pocket or you keep it on your shelf. It is no wonder you struggle. There is no excuse for God's people not to hold the letters. It'll get you through. It'll convey you through your tough time and your good time. How can a Christian go one day without the Bible? And I'm telling you tonight, shame on you. That's no kidding. Shame. Nehemiah, he gets there, 900 miles, 3 months probably, and he takes a rest, a 3-day rest. And the Bible is so, the details are so great in the Bible if we just listen and just look. He takes a 3-day rest because of the journey. And then he went up to inspect the walls. Listen, this meeting with Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, and they're trying to say, what are we going to do with this thing? Well, that carrier brought in this note and handed it to Sanballat. And he says, wait a minute, fellas, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Nehemiah's coming here with a letter from the king to rebuild Jerusalem. Oh, there goes the sports park. There goes the entertainment. There goes all of our profit. And it's the truth. It's the truth. They had an investment that was going to be in jeopardy. You know what the Bible says? They were exceeding wroth. The Bible says they were exceeding upset, inordinately, extremely, unusually grieved. Oh! Can you imagine? Because the thought of a man coming to do something for God, they were grieved exceedingly. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. In the New Testament, we see this woman possessed with the spirit of divination. Well, she gets right with the Lord, and everybody's upset. You think they'd be happy, but no. No, they're going to lose their money. They're going to lose their thing. John says, hey, it's not lawful to have your brother's wife. And what happened to him? He lost his head. And you know what's going to happen to you? When you say, tell someone it's not lawful for you to do that according to the word, they're going to want your head. They're not going to say, oh, thank you for showing my sin. Thank you for showing my fault. No, they don't want to hear it. People have not changed since the time of Nehemiah, since the time of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ only went about this earth doing good, trying to help people and heal people and show people the way to heaven. And they call him a blasphemer, accuse him of sedition. They call him a liar because the world, pastor nailed the nail on the head Sunday, because it is about light and dark. Don't even doubt it. Don't doubt it. So now you got Shechem, Geshem, and Sanballat and Tobiah. They're all upset. Just because someone wants to do right. You know what I don't get? Because I don't get. You have this. Let me say this before I say LGBT. All you have to do is say LGBT and people say, oh, this guy's a hater. I'm not a hater. I'm just saying what it is. If I said to you, you're a drunk, it's a sin. Oh, you're going to thank me for that? I doubt it. If I say, you're a fornicator, you're living in fornication. Some of our young men or young ladies, they go out into this world and they end up living in this sin, and they get so accustomed to it that they become blinded to it. They don't even realize it. One time I said to a young man, you are living in fornication. You get cold to it. You get numb to it. So sin is sin. I'm not weighing sin. Just say, I'm a sinner. I'm a drunk. I'm a fornicator. I'm an adulterer. The sayings of the LGBT. Love is love. Yes, love is love until you want to kill me for being a Christian. I mean, how can you have on your shirt, love is love, and I tell you Jesus loves you, and they hate you? What have I done wrong? I just said Jesus loves you. I don't hate anybody. He loves. Listen, let's say I'm talking to a drunk, or a fornicator, or an adulterer. It's the same thing. They wear a shirt that says love is stronger than hate. Yeah, until you hate me for wanting to live a clean life. Go ahead and live your life. But don't tell me how to live my life. If you call me names, okay, call me names. It's not going to hurt me one single bit. I'm just saying, God says in the letter, it's a sin. And if you say, I don't believe the Bible, then why are you so upset? The t-shirt says, love has no barriers. Really? Really? How about, we're all about love. You're not about love. You're about loving yourself, as is the fornicator, as is the adulterer. They are all about themselves. It's all about love. Yeah, it is. Loving your, just wear a shirt. I love myself. You in fornication, I love myself. You in adultery, I love myself. They say, I'm not going to apologize for who I am. Yeah, but you want me to apologize for who I am. I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I am a Christian. I believe in right. I believe in wrong. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. And there is a penalty for you according to the letter. I won't apologize for who I am. Neither will I. If the Christian can have as much audacity as those people, we would knock this world out for Christ. They say, oh, it's time for us to go and get out of the closet. Yeah, you want to get out of the closet and put me back in the closet. I'm not going in the closet. Why do I have to walk around dress like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and smell like the world and listen to the world's things, look at the world's things, so I kind of blend in because you're in the closet. I'm coming out of the closet, they say. They say, labels aside, we're all unique. Okay, we're all valid. You're all valid until you show them the letter. What is, I'm telling you, as a lost, drunken stoner, if someone came up to me and showed me the Bible, I'd look at it. Grandson and I, we had Jehovah's Witnesses in our house. We had Mormons in our house. Never a Baptist come to my house. Catholics came to our house. Mormons. And Jehovah's Witness, never a Baptist. I would let them in, talk to them. I'm going to hate them because I believe the letter. Don't be afraid, they say. Don't be afraid to show off who... No, don't be afraid to show off your true colors. Okay, go ahead. Show off your true colors. But don't blame me or hate me for showing off my true colors. I am born again. Why do you hate that, those words? Why? Look at the world through the eyes of love. Why don't you? Why don't you? We have our rights. So do I. You know how I got my rights? From the King. He wrote me a letter. Now, while we're talking about your colors, why the rainbow? Why the rainbow? I'll tell you why. Because you're sticking it in God's face. That's why. Satan is a chief musician up in heaven, and when he got thrown out for wanting to be the man, he said, I'll fix him. I'll fix him. I'll take this music, I'll take this world's music, and I'll bring it into the church house. Yeah, yeah. What I'll do is I'll take the letters, and I'll put them with the immoral music. Answer me a question. Is rock and roll music immoral, generally speaking, for the most part? Answer, yes, it's immoral. Does it promote drug use? Yes. Does it promote promiscuity? Yes. Does it promote lying, cheating, stealing, drug, dope, drunk? Yes. So you're going to take the letter of the King and mix that. That's what happened. So tonight in the churches, you've got the smoking dancers up here doing God's music. And what does the devil think about that? I say, stay out. Stay out. We don't need your music. We've got God's music. And I'm not going to try to win some soul to Christ by mixing the words of God with the world's sound. It's not my preference. It's not my opinion. It is the Bible. And if you don't believe that, you're just ignorant. And I'll show you from the Bible where God says, don't do that. So the world takes the music, God's beautiful music. He takes God's beautiful food. How do I know food is beautiful? Because God gave us taste buds. God gave us the sense of a smell that we might appreciate the food. But we have taken the food and gone absolutely outside of the realm of reason when it comes to food. Some people might not know this, but God gave us two hands. And it's not really in the Bible where it's just to feed your mouth. It's true. He gave us hands to serve Him. He gave us hands to worship Him. He gave us hands to pray to Him. He gave us hands to work. That's what it says in the Bible. It says that in the book of Nehemiah. It's all about hands. We won't get to it tonight, but it's about hands. So the devil takes God's music, sticks it in his face, and we buy into it. The devil takes a beautiful thing of food and drink and just throws it in his face. He takes that thing of marriage and it's a disaster. The walls of Jerusalem are crumbled. The walls of Jerusalem are on fire. But you know what God's people do? Not much. Not like Nehemiah in chapter 1. Call out and cry out and repent before God. Oh, I say, I want revival. I want revival. Really? Do you want revival? Nehemiah wanted revival, and he got revival. Built a city in 52 days when everyone said it was impossible, when they laughed at him and mocked him. So now we take the rainbow. Oh, good night. Help me, Jesus. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And this will come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth. He's saying, don't worry. I'm not going to make it flood again. That's what he's saying. That's what the bow says. Don't worry. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the earth. Do I hate the people? No, I don't hate the people. I don't hate anyone. I'm just saying, you're taking the colors of the rainbow. You're taking this bow that God created to show us that He's never going to destroy it. It's a covenant. And you've taken God's covenant and sticking it in His face with that sin. Just like music. Just like alcohol, just like food, just like marriage, just like intimacy, all messed up. You can't hit a button. You can't turn a page without something of immoral hitting you in your face. You think it's an accident? Are we ignorant? No. It's the evil one's plan. He's not happy with your purity. You're 25 years old and you're still pure? Oh my, you don't know what you're missing. No, you don't know what you're missing. You think the world's happy about your being pure? No, no. And some of God's people, they buy into this lie that it's the best thing in the world. Give up your purity before marriage. It's a sin. That's what God calls it. That's what God calls it. This great work. Everyone was included in the work. They had this gate and that gate and this wall and that wall and this part and that part. And everyone had their job. And they weren't arguing. Oh, why did I get stuck in the dung port? Oh, why did I get stuck in the wine gate? Oh, why did I want to go by the dragon well? I want to go by. No, they all worked together and it got done in 52 days. The problem with God's people is one guy wants to preach. This guy wants to preach. This guy wants to sing. This guy wants to sing. This guy wants to go here. This guy. I say, like the man said, God's given you a family. Raise your family for Christ's sake and go from there. These people, all through Nehemiah, it talks about working together, together, together. Now, the evil one, they don't want us, he doesn't want us to work together. No. After 3 days, he got up quietly, till he didn't tell anybody, although the gig was up. The jig was up, because someone had told him, it says so. What was going on? And they were not happy. Oh, they were not very, very, very unhappy. Nehemiah said to the people, and I'll say it to you tonight, you see the distress that we're in? Do you see the distress that we are in? A mockery, a joke. Nehemiah said, you see the distress, you see the suffering, you see the anxiety. You see this dysfunctional church. You see the deterioration of the walls of poverty-stricken Christianity. And he says, let's do something about that. And basically he says, we'll see, we'll see. Oh, what a chapter of the Bible. He says, I've got a letter from the king that's going to blow your mind. You know what they did? They started to build. They started to build. Now, Tobiah, Geshem, Sanballat, they weren't happy about that. They weren't happy about that one bit. So they used four methods in the book of Nehemiah. We don't have time to go to all of it. We won't tonight. But four basic methods that have been used by the world, by the Sanballats and Tobias and the Geshems of the world, all through time, nothing has changed. Number one, they tried to intimidate him with false reports. Lie to him with these false reports. You'll find it in the book of Nehemiah. They got together and they said, we've got to do something about it. Oh, let's get this guy to make this false report, just like they did against Jesus. Nothing changes. Nothing, people are people. Two, deceive him with false prophets. Someone's going to come and say, I'm a Christian too. God's called me to help you on this job. I don't see it. I don't see it. Two, three, they influence the nobles of Judah to go against them. Get the government involved to go against them. You can't teach that here. You can't raise your kids like that. You can't claim this or claim that on your taxes and all that. Get the government involved and shut them down. Oh, you're breaking the law of, you're only supposed to have an 8-foot wall here. It's 8.5 feet. I'm sorry, you're going to have to change that. Oh, has that water been tested? I don't think that, no. You're going to have to change that. Bring the government, bring the church to slow the church down. Slow the building down. That's all. Fourthly, call them to meetings. Let's just have some meetings. Okay, we're going to have a town meeting. Why don't you come? Tell us how you want to build. Tell us what it's going to cost. Maybe we can help you. Maybe we can bend the law. Maybe we can give you some finances. We'll give you a loan. Maybe we'll give you a tax break. I don't need a loan. I don't need a tax break. God has called me to this work, and we're going to do it. It says in Nehemiah, they're calling meetings so they might hurt them. Bring them to a meeting and arrest them. Bring them to a meeting and beat them. Bring them to a meeting and hurt them. Oh, they were furious. And Nehemiah was not afraid of them. Nehemiah teaches us how to respond to them. And he says, and we'll see, the God of heaven will prosper us. The God of heaven, who supplied us with the ladder, will give us all the timber we need. The God of heaven, who gave us the ladder, will give us all the tools, all the time we need. Listen, you that are raising your family, God has given you all the tools you need. You just have to apply them. He told those guys, the God of heaven who prosper us. And they still went nuts because they don't want you. They do not appreciate your holiness. They do not appreciate your goodness. They do not appreciate you wanting to do right. When I got saved, I was a drunken dopehead fighter. Crazy man. I got saved, and it was like I caught the plague. My friends, it was like I had the plague. My own family didn't want to know, have anything to do with me. Because of good? No, because the same is true of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. I'd rather have my son drunk at night than go to church and read the Bible. Blow your mind, man. Secondly, he just said, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the discouragements, he said, we are going to arise and build. And I like it at the end. He says, "You." And this is why I'm saying they're having this meeting about what to do with Jerusalem. He says in here, you have no portion. You have no right. You have no memorial. You've got nothing to do with Jerusalem. What business is it of yours? Stay out of my stuff. That's true. That's true. They say, wait a minute. Are you raising my family? No, I'm raising my family. Wait a minute. Am I telling you to go to church on Sunday? No, I'm going to church on Sunday. Wait a minute. I want to tithe and I want to give my offering. I want to go travel and give money away. What's it to you, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem? Would you want me to be like you? Huh? You want me to raise my kids like your kids? You want me to my wife to be like your wife? I don't think so. I'll take my wife. I'll take my godly wife. I'll take my godly wife, imperfect, like I'm imperfect, like you're imperfect. But I'll take a woman who wants to honor her husband. I'll take a woman that's not going to say, I am woman, hear me roar. How about I am woman, hear me serve my husband? That's what this world's about. That's what this world needs. I'll take a woman who's going to try to look like a woman. Why do you hate me for that? Let me have a wife that wants to look like a woman, and you do whatever you want. It's not my business. I have a letter, and I'm going to tell you what the letter says. Help me, Jesus. God Almighty. You've got no relatives in this place. You've got no blood, sweat, and tears in this place. This place is a park to you. This place is going to become a casino to you. This place is going to become a sports park to you. A party house to you. And the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, Christianity is just that today. We're not interested in rebuilding the walls of the old past. We're interested in getting along. We're interested in shining the place up, playing the music like Geshem and Sanballat and Tobiah want to hear. Then everybody can get along. Let's just love everybody. I'll tell you something. God calls drunkenness a sin. Adultery is a sin. I want you to make sure of that. We're not picking somebody out. You got no name here. You have no ancestors here. You got no time here. You have no history here. Now, if you're doing something that I want to be like you, okay. But I don't see anything in our government that I want to be like. I don't see anybody in the bar that I want to be like. I don't see anybody on my street, the godless people on my street that I want to be like. They despise it. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to try to homeschool my kid. I'm going to try to homeschool my kid to love God. Why does that bother you, Sanballat? There's no polite way to say it. Mind your own stinking business. It's none of your concern. Keep your nose out, butt out. And if you don't like it, leave. Leave me alone. I want St. Timothy preacher about pray for the government that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what we want to do. We want to live a quiet and peaceable life within the walls of Jerusalem. Preacher nailed this Sunday. Preacher was awesome. I'm just thinking to myself, this is a great message for this message. You see, death and darkness go hand in hand. Light and darkness, they have no part. I'm not hurting the guy down the street. I just want to raise my family for the Lord. But that light shines, and you cannot put it out. So you try to cover it up. Let's talk about it. Let's send some false reports out. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. That was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem's problem. Not to mention financial. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's simple. They hate the light. They don't hate you, Moses. They hate me. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil.
I love Jesus.
So you hate me for that? I'm just reading the letter from the King. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, let's go to Nehemiah 2. We'll read it, and we'll have our choir practice. Oh, man. This is an amazing story. It's so funny, right? First of all, they flip out. They're exceeding grieved, beyond reason. Well, then they come and they try to mess them up and they start building. And then the Arabian, Geshem, the Arabian later says, don't worry about those clowns. That's us. Don't worry about the clowns. Once they start building, they don't know how to build. A fox will go up against the wall and knock it down. Oh, really? Oh, really? Watch now. And it came to pass in the month Nisan to Nehemiah. Thank you, preacher. 2, Nehemiah, this is our text for the night, and we'll be done. All I'm saying to you is, I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I'm not going to apologize for what I do. I'm not going to be hiding in some closet. I'm a Christian. Why you hate that is obvious, because of the verses we just read. But I'll tell you what, I don't hate you. I don't hate them. I don't hate them. I like them to be saved, which infuriates him. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had been before times, I had not been before times sad in his presence. Who would be? It's a great gig. Wherefore the king said unto me, What? What? Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? Oh, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid. What was he afraid about? He was afraid somebody was about to tell him what's up. And what's the king going to say about it? Is he going to flip out? What's he going to do? And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. That's a good way to start to the king. That's a common greeting to the kings of Persia. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? He got that message in chapter 1. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou request? He liked him. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That was a quick prayer. He didn't kneel down and start praying out loud. Oh, Lord, I want to talk to... No. I prayed to the God of heaven. You ever do one of those prayers? Yeah, man. And verse 5. And I said unto the king, If it please the king... See what he said there? Let the king live forever. Verse 3. Verse 5. If it please the king... If I found grace in your sight, if I found unmerited grace in your sight, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, into the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Again, 900 miles. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, it's curious, it's very curious. Pardon me? Isn't it curious? Because that's not the norm. Yeah. Preacher, I'm wondering if he hemmed and hawed a little bit. You know what hem and haw means? It means like, what, right? I wonder if he looked at her and she said, she went like this. Right? All right? That's as good as any preacher. I'm thinking maybe God had her there for that day. Just give him a little push from his girl. What's that saying about the neck that turns the head, Mama? I'm not sure about all that. Okay. The man's the head, but the neck turns it, and that's the girl. That's the woman. Okay. And when, don't doubt it. And when wilt thou return? He wants to know when you're coming back. I want you back. So please the king to send me, and I send him a time. Okay, whatever. 12 years. He didn't tell him 12 years, I guarantee you that. Probably a year. Moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king. You see how you go to the king, everybody? Can you see? He's not demanding. Let the king live forever. If it please the king. And in verse 7 again, if it please the king, let letters be given me. I need a letter to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over. Now there's a sermon. A letter to convey me over. Preacher, till I come to Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of God upon me. My God upon me. God's good hand was upon him. Why? Check out chapter 1. That's the key. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Oh, here you go, boys. Now the king had sent captains, listen, of the army and horsemen with me. What? Provide everything I needed. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them. How did they hear it? Someone had to come and tell them. Somebody, one of that crowd in that room that the king was talking to, told them. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of God. Oh, God forbid, there's a man coming to seek the welfare of the children of God. You know, I was talking to Helzerman's today, preacher. You go to, you give your life, Mark, you give your life, go to King Tuba. It's a desolate jungle. And the people there people hate him. Hate him. Take your little girls, take your wife, give your all, and then some people want to kill him. Why? What's he done wrong? He's got a letter from the king, and they don't like that, Mark. And you're light in a very, very dark place. I mean, it's dark. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. See, he took a little rest after his 900-mile trip, and you would too. And I rose in the night. And some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. You see, we like bragging about what God's put in our hearts. Bosan, put in a bulletin. Tell everybody. Send it out to the church. This is what God's led me to do, and I'm going to do it with or without you. Look, not Nehemiah. Okay. And some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Just one beast. Other people are on foot, I suppose. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley. Why? He didn't want to be seen. Even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool. But there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass, because of the rubble, because of the filth. The beast couldn't even get through. He didn't go all the way around. He couldn't, because of the rubble. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall. Can you see him stand there in the night, and the moon is shining, and he's looking at that wall? All tore up, thinking about the glory days. And he's saying, I'm going to rebuild that wall. And entered into the gate of the valley, and so returned to where he spent the night. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. No one knew. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers. Now, these, I'm thinking these must be the religious rulers, because he mentions rulers in the third word of the same verse. Nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Those guys are going to do the work. No one knew anything but him and a few of his trusted companions. Then said unto them, you see the distress we are in. What a sermon. He said to them, do you see the distress we are in? How Jerusalem lieth waste? Do you see the trouble we're in? And the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach, that we be no more a mockery, that we be no more a laughing stock. Then I told them of the hand of my God. He testified now how this all came to be. Verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words. So he told me, I prayed like crazy the day before, and then the next day, and I went to King Xerxes, and here's the letters. Testified that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for what? This good work. This good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, and Governor Cuomo the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Mocked us. You're going to wear a dress when you go out. You're going to cut your hair. You're going to look like a man. Or you're going to look like a woman. They'll laugh you to scorn. You've been pure for 25 years. Oh, man, that is a joke. It's true. Listen, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. You've never been to that movie. You don't listen. You've never danced that dance. You've never seen this thing. You never smoked this thing. You never drank this thing. And despise us. Why would you despise me? Yep. For a good work. Why? And said, why is this? What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? It's 2021. Get with it, man. As if there's no God. Oh, really? Sanballat, your way's better than my way? Tobiah, your way's better than my way? Geshem, your way's better than my way? Show me that. Show me. Show me your joy. Show me your happiness. Show me your peace. And I'll show you messed up Hollywood, messed up sports. Listen, Some of you crazy people, you idolize these sports heroes. They're losers.
Yep.
They're losers.
Yep.
Sinful,
yep.
Arrogant,
yep.
Prideful,
yep.
Rich babies. Yeah. Yeah, call them when you're sick. Yeah, listen, yeah. You that wear someone's shirt, the name on the back of your shirt, call them when you get sick. Yeah. Tell Tom Brady your car is broken. What if he can give you a new car? I'll tell you what. I'll take Tom Smith over Tom Brady any day of the week. Any day of the week. I would give him 2 cents. Tom Smith will stop in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, come to your house and fix your house. That's a man. What is this thing that you do? Isn't that a great question? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Are you insane? You must be. You need some CBD or something. Will you rebel against the king? You see what that says? Look at the verse 19. You're going to go against the government? You're going to go against the norm? You're a little itsy-bitsy fish swimming against the torrent. Nothing's changed. People are people. Then answered I them. This is my answer. This is your answer. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, get out my way. We as servants will arise and build. I don't expect you to build my house. We his servants. We don't need you. We don't need your money. We don't need your tax dollars. We don't need your help. No, we'll get our own machinery. We'll get our own people. Thank you very much. We as servants will arise and build. And I like this, man. Now look at, remember, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem are in his face right now, laughing and mocking. And he says, ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You have no business here, man. This place is not your place. This is my place. God's given me this place, and I am going to, by God's grace, build it. So, what can we take from all of this? People haven't changed one single bit. And don't be surprised when you want to act like a Christian. Be a Christian, and the world doesn't meet you with open arms. You want to have a bunch of kids in your house, raise up a big family. This world, the Sanballat and Tobiah will give you every reason in the world not to. No, don't do that. Stupid. Think about yourself. Think about your future. Think about your finances. Think about what you won't be able to give the kids. Think about the college. Think about this thing. No. We, ours is to do what God has called us to do. And I believe he's called us to work on the walls of Jerusalem. To build the walls. But unlike Nehemiah, some of us just don't care. Never shed a tear. Never shed a tear. And call to the Lord. And fast night and day. That's how it happens. That's the key to the book of Nehemiah. We find it in chapter 1. Don't even doubt it. Let's stand for prayer. We're just going to have a prayer, Amy. We're just going to have a prayer. Is that okay, preachers? Let's have a prayer. And if you want to come down the altar, that'd be great. And I'm just going to pray here. And when I'm done praying, someone's going to play the piano. And we'll have the ground choir come up. Brother Pritchard's going to head out and show us something about the table at the fair. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a nothing with this compared to this man who was unafraid, unapologetic, did not suffer anxiety, worry, or pain. Just state the facts. Help us, Lord Jesus. Just stick with it. Help us to see, Lord, that we are in a mess. The church of God is hurting, Lord. hurting in its standards, hurting in its music, hurting it with its gospel soul-winning plan. It's not a coincidence that we're out of the nursing homes, Lord. That's Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, one way or another. Help us get back there, Lord. I'm glad about the fair, Lord, in Orleans County. Go back and build that wall. Thankful, Lord, that there's family after family in this house working on the wall, building, helping each other with their wall. Each of us having different gifts, Lord. That's how you spread those people out in Jerusalem. Some had this skill and others had that skill. Help us to find our place, Lord. Help us not to neglect the letter of the King. It will convey us through. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. All right, well, let's do this. We've got a piano player coming to play. A Crown Choir, come right up. It's a quarter after the hour, 20 after, and we'll practice for a half hour. So, Greg, at 10 minutes off, my friend, we'll be done. Okay? Go check out the table. Maybe if you're undecided, just check it out. Check it out. Amen.